Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Joy Celebration and the Potter's House with Heal Our Land. Very good afternoon to you if you have just tuned in. And so it is that time we so greatly wait upon every single Thursday where we talk all things on legalities. And so this afternoon with me, I have Mr. SK.
How are you, Luko?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you.
Oh, man. A lawyer hard at work always. I must say, I've dragged him out of court, out of proceedings today because, hey, it's studio time.
Yeah, for sure. It's radio time.
We must educate
our people.
We're really grateful. Earlier on, I was talking to Mr. Sekamela on the phone, and he says to me he's still got a CCMA hearing. And yeah. I said to Mrs. Enika, at 12 o'clock, I'm looking at the time, he better make it in studio.
And I arrived and just right on time. Eh?
Right on time, actually. Yeah. I didn't have to say, you're running late, my friend. You're running late.
No.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for being a good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. So, what are we talking about today?
You see, Luko, there's I normally say this word to say cheap is expensive. Shortcuts.
Yay.
Shortcuts. So I want us to touch. We're living in times where day-to-day basis people are purchasing properties and so forth and so forth. So I want us to check the risk of not involving property agents.
Okay.
You see, because I must believe there's a reason in law as to why do we have property agents, or why must we have property agents
and legit ones?
Yes, because they must be registered with relevant councils. The same way regulatory bodies must be in place, and also because they are working with monies. Deposits and so forth and so forth. So they must also have what we call, what normally even attorneys have, the Fidelity Fund Certificate, which serves more as an insurance.
Guys, hold it right there, Mr. Sekamela.
Yeah.
You heard that. They must have a Fidelity Certificate.
Yes.
Please. Because I think we forfeit asking these correct questions. Don't be desperate enough to not do all the checks.
Yeah,
because the stories are here. Yo, Mrs. Kamala, go ahead. I'll tell you another story shortly.
Shortcuts will cost you a lot. So those are the requirements. One must be registered with relevant counsel, and also they must have a Fidelity Fund Certificate. As I've already said, Luko, to say Fidelity Fund Certificate, it's a certificate which serves more as an insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
To say if maybe there can be some malicious activity with a certain amount of money, then that Fidelity Fund Certificate is able to reimburse that line. The same way where you find an attorney having used money from for personal use, then you find that he does not have it on his personal capacity, then the Fidelity Fund Certificate will see to it that they reimburse that client and discipline their member.
Thank you for mentioning that, because it's going to bring me straight into the scenario and the question. Because now I'm interested to hear if this lady will recover her money. There's an influencer.
Okay.
We probably don't have the same social feeds, right?
But I follow you.
Yes, definitely. But you might not have seen her story. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And in her story, apparently she was arrested recently.
Okay.
And this is because she says she wanted to purchase a property, approached an agent, told the agent that she was looking to purchase a property. She's what we call osis ndosha. I don't know if you know about them, but it's usually these ladies, even guys nowadays, that sell like your sneakers, your weaves, your whatnot. They basically sell. They make a lot of money from it. And she told this agent that, I want to buy a property. I want to buy it cash. I think it was worth $1 million or whatever. But then I want to buy it within a period of time. That's immaterial. But what happened was, apparently then the agent said, you need to produce proof of residence, your bank statement, this and this and that. what she did.
Mm.
I'm not too sure where in the conversation 100,000 came in.
Mm.
But she now apparently the police and the particular bank in question, whose documents had been fraudulently made apparently, then pounced on her. She was arrested.
Mm.
Her case is still coming up. But I think let's take it that her version is real, right?
Yeah.
We're not arguing the merits of her story, whether it's true or not.
Mm.
Can she, what steps can be taken? And if the agent has a fidelity certificate, is there a chance that she could recover that? Because in her story, she claims that the agent took responsibility.
Yeah, you see, this is what I was saying, Luko. Agents, they are bound by a certain code of conduct, you see. So this code of conduct are there to see to it that it protects buyers and sellers from any malicious sales that they can or they may suffer. Yes. So the steps, one, she must approach the relevant council. She must check where that particular agent has subscribed to or which council do they belong to. Then lodge a formal complaint.
Okay.
To say, I am. This is what transpired and so forth and so forth. Then an investigation will be lodged. Then obviously there will be some disciplinary hearings that will have to ensue.
Okay.
See? Yeah. So that's basically what...
I love the sound of that because I think, again, as the buyer, do not be under pressure so much that you don't look out for the red flags. You must remember, some people are all about sales.
Exactly.
Not necessarily integrity.
Yeah, true. They just want to sell and get their commission and that's it. They don't even give you the non-disclosure or the defects that you may have or encounter in what in that whatever property or equipments or that which you are buying. They don't advise you further on that one.
All right.
You see, Luca, so we that's the first thing actually that we're going to look into. The non-disclosure of defects. Remember, we're talking about the risk of not using an agent when purchasing property. The first one, it's a non-disclosure of defects. Private sellers have less legal obligation to disclose the defects, like you've already alluded, Luko. Mm. They just want to sell and make a profit.
And they'll paint over some defects.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, they will paint.
Yeah, they'll paint over some defects.
Mm.
So you see, why is it important? Because the agent will also protect his own integrity.
Yeah.
You see, so that's the importance of using
an agent.
And the risk is that you may not be aware of any defects that may exist. You see. Then the second one that we're going to look into, Luko, deposit loss.
Okay.
When you are buying privately, you stand a chance or a risk of losing your deposit in private sales. You see. Because the sale agreement may not be explicit in legal terms, because those agents, those offer to purchase documents that you sign when you buy property, they are legally trained to draft such papers, you see.
Okay.
So if you do it yourself, you may forfeit or leave out certain clauses.
And then you pay deposit.
Then you pay deposit.
And then you go back, you want to finish the transaction, you realize, something was wrong with this house.
Yeah.
Then they're like, oh, you've chopped the money already.
Exactly. Or maybe they are the ones that are drafting it for you. They just put a clause there that immediately after you have paid a deposit, you forfeit it. Then you sign due to lack of money.
As if you're hiring an artist or something.
Yes. You see, so you must read these things and... It's important to use professional people to assist you and to guide you. So you may suffer that risk of losing a deposit.
Okay.
The other one that we need to look into, it's an incomplete sale transaction. Private sales may not clearly outline what is included in the sale.
Okay.
You see, which may lead to misunderstandings and unnecessary disputes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unlike when an agent, you know, an agent is a professional seller. Every day they are selling properties.
Yeah.
So they are already experienced in as far as even going in as far as checking the defects on your behalf. They will advise you to say in a certain bedroom, there are no tiles. You will have to replace them and so forth. And that assists you even in negotiating the purchase price.
Exactly. Exactly.
You see, so those are the things that the listeners must check. Look, yeah, one is the defects, two, deposit loss, and incomplete sale agreement.
Okay.
You see, then again, lack of protection under the Consumer Protection Act. You'll agree with me, Luko, that each and every transaction where there is a relationship of a buyer and a seller in South Africa, they are protected by the Consumer Protection Act.
Yep.
But now, when you do a private sale, you forfeit the advantage of being protected by the Act.
Eh.
So any private sale that you do in South Africa,
it's outside of the Act.
It's outside the ambit of the Consumer Protection Act.
Yo. Sure. So no matter how much you want the house, make sure that it is done through an agent.
And remember, if you are not protected by the Act, then you forfeit your legal protection. Then you'll start to run to TV shows and so forth. Then when you go to those people, they approach us, then we tell those people from the TV show to say, these people are not protected by the Consumer Protection Act. Then you forfeit everything.
This is difficult.
Yeah, you see, Luko, certain things... for certain people.
You
can't do certain things by yourself.
And a house cannot be little money. Do not regard if you think, no, I'm just buying an RTP small house for 100,000, 200,000. That's a lot of money for you, actually.
You see, even if it's an RDP, look at one other risk of...
RDP. Of,
yeah. Look at one other risk of not using an agent. Over-evaluation. The seller can just over-evaluate that property.
Get the price
from
their head.
Yeah, you are clueless. You know nothing. I tell you that this thing goes for this price. You buy it.
True.
But when you are using an agent will tell you, in this area, this is normally the market rate.
Oh.
You see, we normally sell for this value in this area. But now you come, it's a private sale, then the property is over-evaluated.
Speaking of that, not just over evaluation, but like you're saying, concealed information while buying a property.
Yeah.
Is the risk of this type of purchase not similar to that of auction purchases?
Not necessarily. You see, even auctioneers, they subscribe to certain councils.
I'm asking because with the TV shows, oftentimes you find people buying properties from auction houses. And 5 years, 10 years down the line, people are still occupying the property and the actual legal owner is not occupying it because the owners will not move out.
Yeah, you see, this is what we once spoke about this year on the Legal Junction, Luko. You remember about that property in Soweto, in Naledi, where the girlfriend of the father
of the deceased
forged that she was married to the deceased.
Yes.
And what she did some developments on the property and so forth. Then after thorough investigation, we realized that
there was
basically no marriage.
Mm.
Then what does law of property say is the owner of the land
gets
takes
everything.
It all. You see.
Yeah.
Then Then we investigated. We found that they've done renovations. They did make the averments that, no, we've made renovations.
Mm-hmm.
We agree that you have made the renovations, but on whose land?
Yeah. I'm asking Mr. Sakamela because I then find, I feel like these auction houses then or whoever literally sell you the property and leave you in the middle of nowhere to see how those people get out.
Yeah, you see, an auctioneer cannot do an eviction application.
But who's supposed to facilitate the process?
No, no. Remember, his duty is to sell the property. We also at times have properties that are sold that way.
Mm.
You find that there is occupants in that property.
Yes.
But we sell it as is.
Yes.
Then after the purchase have purchased that property,
mm.
he bears the responsibility of making sure that
that's
those particular people,
going.
Those particular occupants must be evicted.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's normally what happens. We sell the property as is,
mm-hmm.
then from there, the purchaser will bear the responsibility of taking those people out of his own property.
That's why I'm saying that it gets tricky there then. Nami, where I'm like, mm. hey, maybe using an agent is the wiser decision, actually.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But when you buy it from auction, obviously you'll buy it with those terms.
Okay.
You will have to make sure that you evict those particular occupants.
Occupants, okay. Mm. Okay.
Then the other one, Luko, that we'll look into is there is no professional guidance in private sale. You are not advised whatsoever.
Sure.
It's just a matter of saying, I'm selling my property and that's it.
Yeah. Do you want it? Yes. Money in?
You see, so there is no professional real estate agents that will guide you on the consequences, that will advise you about any possible risk.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that will negotiate the purchase price on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So there is not all those professional engagements of buying property in the right way.
But why do you think people opt for this option, as risky as it is?
People love shortcuts, Luko.
And they love cheap.
They love cheap things, you see. And cheap is expensive.
Yeah, like you said.
Yeah.
Because it might not even be worth what you think it is worth. Like
exactly.
You're
exactly. Because you buy and you find that the same thing that you are buying is over evaluated.
Mm.
If you used property, real estate agents, they have powers of conducting property valuation and issue you a certificate.
True, true.
You see, so if you use such people, then you'll know that these people are registered with Council First. Then again, they will issue a certificate after they have evaluated this particular property.
Mm. Okay.
Unlike when you do it by yourself.
Which is true.
It's the same as conducting your own defense. Either in a court of law.
Shooting yourself in the foot.
In a hearing. You see, I've seen people fail, not because they do not have a case.
True.
But they do not know or have
legal jargon.
The know-how
exactly
to put words and how to draft documents and so forth.
Not that you're lying and you don't know your story, but
no.
Yeah.
You see, it's not a matter of knowing your story.
Mm.
It's a matter of understanding also the procedural aspects.
Sure.
You see, so there's a lot of things in place when a matter is due to be adjudicated.
You're reminding me, I was doing an assignment back in the day. I had attended a court in East London, a court case, and the gentleman said he wanted to defend himself. The magistrate looked at him and he said, tell me, sir, do you have a legal degree? Somehow. This is the magistrate.
Yes.
And the gentleman responded, no. He said, but you're sure of this decision, right?
Yeah.
And he says, yes. He says, okay. Great. He says he will defend himself. But now that you mention it, I laughed because I'm thinking, hey, this guy was onto something. So unless you've got a law degree, it's fine. I can understand why you want to do this. Otherwise, are you sure?
Exactly. I once, when the time I was still a court interpreter, Luko, there is this charge called crimen
injuria.
You see, so another guy came there in court, and the magistrate asked him to say, "Chief, are you comfortable with? Oh, what is your profession?" Then the guy was like, "No, I'm an educator."
Okay.
"What subjects are you offering?" Then he goes like, "No, I'm offering English." And okay. I don't remember if he said geography or whatever. You see, then the magistrate went further to say, "Are you comfortable that these proceedings may go on and you will speak without the services of the court interpreter?"
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and remember that time I'm an interpreter, Luko. Uh-huh. I'm looking forward to interpreting this matter.
You're at work.
I'm at work, man. I'm willing. I'm ready to serve the public, you see. Then the guy is like, "No, man, here in court you guys speak English. So it's fine. I'll continue by myself. I don't let Mr. Siakamela rest, man."
Okay.
You see, then I rest.
But is he going to understand the jargon?
The magistrate says to the prosecutor, "State, now you can put the charge to the accused." Then the prosecutor stands and starts reading the charge sheet. Then say, "You are charged with crimen injuria." Then you know the court
English
will,
won't explain to you what crimen injuria.
The court will go like, "Do you understand the charge against you?" Then that man went blank. He's like, "You know what? I honestly don't know what is crimen injuria." And the magistrate
and the interpreter would have interpreted it to you.
It's simple.
Exactly.
This is what we're talking about today here on the Legal Junction, Luko, to say certain things for certain people.
Yeah.
If you can't do something, give work to those that can do it. If you can't do your own books, give it to the bookkeepers.
You're not a property seller. Don't sell your property.
Don't sell your property. Yeah, you're not an agent. Yeah. You're not trained to do that. Mm. Then why take a risk of doing it?
Good question. Sure. Pepsile, thank you. Pepsile Kabo says, we're here.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Welcome.
No,
in.
Thank you so much. Yeah. These are people that will make us to enjoy coming here on Thursday.
Even on a public holiday.
Even on a public holiday. Radio knows no holiday. No, yeah. Thank you so much,
Pepsile.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate. So you see, Luko, it doesn't only apply specifically to, it's just that today we had to narrow it to law of property.
Mm.
But it's applicable in every instance.
Builders,
Luko. How many people just find people on the street? They say they're builders. You find them sitting at the corners with boards to say, "You know, I'm a builder," and they're not registered with council. The next thing, the house will fall. They are nowhere to be found. You see, so it's
you.
Yeah.
Mr. Sakamela, sorry to cut you. I still get angry to this day. I always say, one day when I've got money, I've got to renovate my parents' house because there's a skewness in our passage somewhere. And I'm like, why? Why? Couldn't he see? It's visible.
Yeah.
It's visible.
You see, that's exactly what we're talking about. There's consequences if you do not use for cheap work.
Yep.
So you might as well do it once. And for all.
Correctly. The first time.
For sure. But now, if you want to take shortcuts, it will cost you. Because you'll keep on fixing.
Fixing. I know someone who's cheaper. I know someone who's cheaper. They always cry in the end.
Yeah. There's another one there. It was that cherry baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cherry baby says, "Hi, Mrs. Sagamela. Tell me, how can you sell a house with an affidavit? Oh my word, does affidavit expire?" Whether it expires or not, Cherry Baby, you don't use an affidavit.
You don't use an affidavit to sell property. There's proper documents. There's what we call OTP, offer to purchase. That is the document that you must sign when you want to buy property. You cannot use an affidavit. Because affidavit is an attestation. You attest something to say this is 1, 2, 3 that transpired, but that cannot be used to buy property.
Exactly. And I think you mentioned this at some point in time. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I remember.
But also to say, going the agent route will save you a lot of trouble, because if anything falls apart within that deal, your money is not sitting with the owner of the house.
Exactly.
It's within the lawyer's trust account.
Yes.
You know your money will come back.
Your things are safe.
Yeah.
Your money is safe. So you meet on the corner at the corners, then you say no. The seller will like not transfer it into my Capitec account or into 123 account. The next thing, you have lost your money.
Lalela. Ish. It's not tricky, but it's a dangerous route to take. You're right when you say cheap is expensive. It's going to cost you.
So it's important, Luko, to use professional services. I've seen people falling into very bad traps. You see it even on these TV shows. You'll realize that people enter into malafide type of engagements. Because you see it every day, there is people complaining about the other.
Yeah.
So there's always issues.
I remember there was one where the argument was not necessarily surrounding the property itself, but it was surrounding the person had called this particular TV show to get to recover anything worth the value of the furniture, their furniture that was damaged.
Yeah.
So she was living in a family house, this family house term that I don't understand, but she's living in a family house, and then somehow one of the siblings sold the family house without the consent of the other siblings, apparently.
Yeah.
And so this lady came because she had bought the house. She checked the sister living in the house out, and so they took her furniture outside, and it was destroyed by rain or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And so this one is back now saying, no, my things were destroyed because you took them out. And she says, yes, because I had bought this property. It's my property. I own it now. I don't remember a title deed being presented there.
Yeah.
But I remember this one saying, no, but my brother was wrong to sell the property. And it was now a he said, she said situation. But again, it's that I bought the property from your brother. There was never an agent.
No agreement.
Wabo? Yeah. And the brother can turn around and actually say, look, I'm not selling the property anymore.
Yeah.
Then it becomes just a civil case. You owe them money, and that's the end of it.
We will refund you then. How are you going to refund? Do you refund in total or do you refund in installments? Then they're like, no, we don't have it in total. So we'll give you monthly. And by that time, you have paid them a lump sum.
So I think the advice, Mina, I would give you, you can correct it, Mr. Sakamela, is to say, even if you feel the property is cheap, do not buy it if it's not through the proper channels.
Yeah. Do not.
Do not leave it.
Do not. Even leave if they can say it's 10 rands.
Exactly.
Leave it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because.
Unless it's money you're willing to part with.
Yeah, you don't want that money anymore, then you're willing to give it to someone. Then you can enter into such sale agreements.
Yeah. Cherry Baby is contributing once again, and she says, so true. Now, my friends have a big problem, and the house is still on the previous owner. She just has the affidavit. That's proof she bought the house for 60K. So true. Oh.
Yeah, but now in this instance, if there is the POP for the 60K.
Proof of payment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the money can be recovered.
Oh. See, because, Cherry Baby, ask your friend. Here's some advice.
Yeah.
I always tell you, here, advice is free. See, Mr. Sakamela just gave
you. Advice is free until 3 o'clock.
That if your friend has proof that she paid the money or he paid the money, they can always recover it somehow.
Yeah,
but I'm guessing that will also then involve lawyers.
Yeah,
because that's not a small claims court amount.
Yeah, that's not a small claims amount. There has to be letters of demands that must be sent, Section 129s that must be sent.
Yeah,
and ultimately summons if they do not settle outside court.
Let me just say, Cherry Baby, I'm not trying to sell him, but the man to do that one is sitting right across me.
Yeah.
So go tell your friend, go say, hey, if you've got proof of payment, any form of proof of payment, listen, do contact Mr. Sakamela, because your friend must get your their money back. Because exactly. Worst case scenario, they'll stay in that property and one day someone will come and claim it when they're no more. And your friend will be without a property.
And instances like this, Luko, you'll find that this property is not sold only to Cherry Baby's friend. It has been sold to several people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, people are crooks out there.
People are crooks, I'm telling you.
So chances are they've been selling the property and
They can sell it to more than 10 people. So imagine if they get 60,000 from... You see, that's the risk of doing things by yourself, Luko.
But Mr. SK, please help me understand.
Yeah.
Most of these affidavits are done at the police station. When you are making such a...
Please
affidavit,
don't make me say what I want to say. please, Luko.
You're both standing there at the police station. Yeah. You're making an affidavit.
Yes.
Is there no one at the police station to say,
And these people are trained to say they are not allowed to do an affidavit of anything that involves money.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself,
they cannot. I mean, the police knows that they are trained, but you'll be shocked the things that are done at the police station, Luko.
Honestly, I'm thinking there's no one sober person to say, "Hey, Nina, stop with the choking inside," because there's no such thing. You don't use affidavits to sell properties.
It's very sad. Let me not say what I wanted to say.
And please don't, because when my police come in here, I don't want to be in conflict.
Yeah. No, let me just keep it to myself.
Mina, I still can't believe even can't say, "Guys, stop it.
Yeah.
You don't sell properties.
I'm here to do an affidavit.
For
it. Then they say, write it yourself.
No, of course they do that. By the way, who's supposed to write an affidavit?
I mean, remember, they are the commissioners of oath. In principle, they are the ones that are supposed to guide that member of the public
on how to
properly draft an affidavit.
I'm asking because I've been on both receiving ends. The one time when somebody had hit my car in Mainland, the police actually wrote the affidavit,
yes.
And then when I got scammed most recently, the guys asked me to write my own affidavit. Yeah. I don't even know if they read it. I just remember them putting a stamp and signing.
Yeah, they will go like, "No, write it, we will stamp." Don't even read the content. Maybe you say going to do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That is evil.
But isn't the stamp and signing witnessing? What are you witnessing to then?
You are commissioning the attestation that is in the affidavit to say. That's why, you see, those questions to say, "Are you sure that whatever you're saying here is true?" Then on the affidavit, then you'll tick yes.
Uh-huh.
You see.
I've never had to do that.
Do you consider this binding to your conscience?
I've never had to do
then
that.
Then you... It's there on the affidavit, you see.
Guys, okay. No, it's not supposed to be funny, but it's actually funny because guys, please, don't make such mistakes.
Please.
In fact, I don't even think this is a mistake. The affidavit one night, guys. No, I just think it's carelessness.
Yes, I mean, they should have just told that client or that member of the community to say, "This is not how you buy property. You cannot buy property through an affidavit. There should be proper processes. There should be OTPs, offer to purchases, that must be signed and so forth." But they don't do that. Instead, they assisted this person to lose 60K.
So generally, what do these affidavits even look like? Do they say, "I agree to the property"?
I'd love to see the content. I mean, if Cherry Baby has that content, I'd love to.
Cherry Baby, visit Chomine, visit friend, and then take a bit of a picture of that affidavit.
I want to see what really happened. What is the content that led to...
I agreed to give the papers at a later stage. What's this about? the person that was
to transfer the title deed to what?
It's confusing.
It's confusing.
It's very confusing. Yeah. But we listen. We don't judge.
We don't judge.
We don't judge, my lovey.
We don't judge, yeah.
And I think that is evident in us saying, make sure that your friend makes contact with Mr. Sekamela. He will give his contact details at the end of our chat. But get your friend to recoup that money now.
Yeah.
Don't even try and get into further engagements unless the friend will then go the proper route.
Yeah.
So that they can get the property papers. Otherwise...
Yeah, and imagine if this instance, Luko, you see, I see she's confirming that the money was paid into the bank account. Now, let's say an instance where, because these people are very tricky. They can say, no, you can bring us 60,000 in cash.
Yes.
Yeah, because the bank will delay what, you see. Then you give them
and
cash.
Their stories always make sense, Mr. Sekamela.
They
somehow.
Always make sense.
Somehow.
They always make sense, yeah. They make sure that you understand and you don't even feel that you have been robbed.
Ish, I don't know if I remember telling you the story where I helped someone who had borrowed money and I gave them the money. When they returned the money, they told me somebody wanted to deposit money for them. So can the money be put into my account?
Yeah.
And I think my instinct immediately said, man, why isn't the money just deposited into your account? Can you send the money to me? The story was, no, it's a social grant card. So if a huge amount comes in, then, you know, it's going to be flagged. And so I thought, oh, well, I'm not going to do anything with the money anyway. Yeah. I'll send. And I'm thinking, anyway, I can speak for myself. There'll be a trail. The money will go out to you again anyway. Indeed, I received the money, sent the money to them, and I got my money back that I'd borrowed them. Life went on, only for my account to be blocked.
You see.
Only for me to have issues now because they've now scammed someone and they've used me.
There's always repercussions.
So, even helping people nowadays,
it's best to do things.
Yeah. And if your instinct tells you something's wrong, just don't do it.
Just don't do
it. Because now in hindsight, I look at it, I'm like, I should have stuck to that. No, why is the money being put to my account? If you don't want to put on your sasa, I don't know how it should be done. But I think I was just like, okay, let me help. It's fine. The rest is history.
Yeah. It's best, Luko, to do things the correct way, I'm telling you.
Sure.
Whether it's a sale, whether it's a contract, it's always best that you do things in a legal way.
Yeah.
You see, because when man lives without law, without freedom. You see.
Exactly.
So it's best to do things the correct way, and you will not suffer bad ramifications afterwards. Because one of the consequences here, Luko, it's a legal suit.
Ish.
You may enter into such a contract by yourself, and at the end of the day, you suffer very bad legal suit. You have been sued. You were innocently buying property.
Exactly.
But the next thing, you are the one that has to pay damages. So it's not right.
People are messed up out there.
Yeah.
I think we are wrapping up. Anything else, Mr. Sekamela, before we say goodbye? And please remember to give your details because Cherry Baby's friend needs them.
I think they must just go to our website and check what we do. We have panel of attorneys throughout the 9 provinces in the country.
Okay.
Limpopo, Gauteng, Northwest. You find us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. www.siakamelalegal.co.za www.siakamelalegal.co.za and our WhatsApp line is 0783060456 and Luko, I found myself a mother here on the legal junction.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she got my details here. Then we discussed about her matter. Then every day she sends me scriptures.
Come on.
I'm telling you, every day I receive. He's one of the great listeners of Radio Pulpit. And I just want to appreciate her live here on air to say, Mom, I really appreciate those verses, those encouragement that I get on day-to-day basis. May God bless you.
Absolutely love to hear this one. I wanna play out with your song actually today.
Oh, today we're knocking off with my song.
Yes, yes. I don't know. Mutlalatlala was my fave. Do you wanna hear Mutlalatlala?
I want to hear Mutlalatlala.
I remember asking him, what's Mutlalatlala? Is it like a amazing thing?
It's miracles.
Okay. Oh man, I think it's time to sign out.
Yeah, it's time to sign out. From myself, the only lawyer of the radio, we're doing this again, same time, same place. Next week, Thursdays, the Thursdays of Law here on Radio Pulpit. God bless you.
And from myself, Lukom Kwedi Puti, I've absolutely enjoyed every single moment of this afternoon with you. Let's give it a name and call it a day until tomorrow on Spectrum from 4 till 6 o'clock, leaving you in the good and capable hands of Johan Els with something else. God bless.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Advertiser e-business lakho ku Radio Pulpit ube semgangathweni. I-Radio Pulpit iyi-brand ethenjwe kakhulu eminyakeni edlula amashumi amane. Futhi inabalaleli abadlula u-400,000. Sesinama-package amahle kakhulu kanye nezindawo eziningi zoku-advertiser ukuze i-business lakho likhule. Uma ufuna uku-advertiser, thinta uSanet ku 012-334-1254 noma uthumele i-email kusanet@radiopulpit.co.za. Futhi ungathumela i-SMS ethi advertise ku 37871. I-SMS ikhokhelwa imali ejwayelekile.
Bringing hope and truth. Radio Pulpit on 657 AM.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882 and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
Share the love. Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.